I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country. 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well Lynn, we start off the show at a place called Northern Foreshores Reserve, Copeton Dam, which is in Inverell at New South Wales.
Yes, I know, and what a lovely place it is, but apart from the weather.
Well, the weather at the moment's not exactly being very kind to us,
no.
But hey, it could be worse. Okay, it could be bucketing down with rain.
Yes.
As it is at the moment, we've just got a few on and off showers throughout
yes.
the day.
And very cold.
And it's cold. Colder than a mother-in-law's kiss.
Well, it's cold as charity.
Now, when I asked Tom, who's the manager of the reserve, is it normally like this at this time of the year, he said no. It does get cold, but we've had some sort of...
Cold snap.
Yeah, and it's
very
down
cold.
To like 1 degree and minus
yep.
overnight. So
thank God for power.
Thank God for power, because you can get powered sites here.
And you can have unpowered down by the water.
And you can have unpowered if you want to sleep in a tent and a swag and freeze to death this time of year. Mm-hmm. But it's a great place, isn't it? Because apart from the camping arrangements, they've also got through the summer months, they've got the splash park for the kids.
Yes, they have.
And the lake.
Yes, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It is absolutely
fishing,
sensational.
Fishing, boating. Walks, nature walks.
They've got nature walks.
Kangaroos.
Yeah, lots of native birds to see. So
yes.
many things to do here.
Yep, lovely.
So it's definitely a recommended spot
and
to come to.
And it's only 19 k's back into Inverell.
That's right.
Mm.
And Inverell's got everything you need.
It has.
Now, our next guest on the program is...
Cassie, and she's camping with her partner... friends and five kitties.
Five kitties. Now the youngest is 19 months.
Ooh, and they're in tents.
And they are in a tent. Okay, now we spoke to her because I said, how do you deal with five kids? Three of them are hers, two are their friends. 19 months up to 12 years of age.
Yeah.
How do you entertain them when it's cold and it's raining?
Yep.
Stick around, folks, because she's going to tell you what she does, what's her secrets. And then straight after that, we are chatting with...
Nick Perkins, and he's the president of the Dirranbandi Polo Cross Club.
Now, the Dirranbandi Polo Cross Club are having this sensational event, which is on this coming weekend. Okay.
Yes.
So... Not today, the following weekend, yeah. And this is going to be fabulous because they've got some of the best polo cross teams all through Queensland and New South Wales that come to this particular event.
Pretty interesting.
It's completely free to go to this.
Wow. Better put it on the calendar for next year then.
Absolutely. Because they'll even let you stay at the event for free on the showground.
How impressive is that?
Now, before we start the show, I do want to play a song because I was chatting with Tom and I told him about this particular singer, Jeff Brown, whom he'd never heard of. And I said, well, what I'll do before we start our discussion, I'm going to play you a song by Jeff Brown.
Right.
Now, the song is called More Times Than I Remember from the album of the same name title. So, Lynn, apart from this song and the fabulous interviews, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show!
Well, I've been out back in my trusty old Mac more times than I remember. Scorching drought in the further out and the monsoons in December. Seen lots of snow round Omeo, seen the sands of Unadatta. Been checked for weight in every state from Cairns to Wangaratta. 6 days on the road with an overload while I waited out the scale. Been in strife with another bloke's wife in a town in New South Wales. Been bogged in glue on the hay plains too in the storms of late November. Been in a blue full of homemade brew more times than I remember. Seen a few truck wrecks, had a few crook checks from shonks I carted freight for. Had some quick turnarounds in coastal towns and some loads I've had to wait for. Old ugly low over rough dirt roads from Christmas to September. Had a bear and go and a tire blow more times than I remember. Now settled down in a country town and the big wheels roll on by. And the bull light beams invade my dreams and they will until I die. Though my trucking days may fade away like a fire's dying ember, I've known tough times but I've made true mates more times than I remember. Never had me a wife but I've had a good life. Hard work it seems don't matter. If your health stays fine as it has like mine, and my ashes you can scatter. Where the trucks roll by and the soft winds sigh and the freight flows in December, let my mates come by just to show that I am a bloke they all remember. Let my mates come by just to show that I am a bloke they all remember.
Welcome to the show, listeners. Phil C here, allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And I am at Northern Foreshores Reserve, Copeton Dam, which is in Inverell, and I'm chatting to the manager, and his name is Tom. How are you going today, Tom?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Real good. Yeah, not a problem.
Mate,
a bit cold, but yeah, good.
It's good. It is a bit fresh. First of all, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. And invite me into your office, because it is. It's cool out there, isn't it?
It is, my word.
Eh?
Yeah, -1, I think it was.
Wow. So what's the temperatures like out here? Like, is this unusual for this time of year? Or?
Yeah, normally we don't get frosts or anything. It's just a lovely winter. You know, it is cold, of course, being winter, but otherwise it's good.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, comfortable.
Okay.
Still got campers.
You've still got campers. We'll talk about that in a sec. How long have you been working out here?
I've been here 7 years now.
7 years, yeah. So you're obviously used to the climate. Like you said, it's 1 degree or minus or something.
Yeah, look, once you get on doing a bit of work, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you do as the the manager of the campground?
Well, just about everything. Everything okay. Except running the kitchen, but anyway.
Okay.
So
okay.
I do the cleaning, the mowing, do the bookings. Ever has to be maintenance, all that sort of thing.
Right.
Do inspections, control the water park, do all the chemical work,
okay.
That sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you get into it? Like 7 years, you've managed parks before, or how did you get into it?
No, I actually used to fill in for the managers who were here before. When they went away, I'd fill in for them.
Right.
The managers here went, oh, I don't want it anymore, I'm leaving, do you want the job? And I went, oh, it's up to the council.
Yes.
So the council said, come out and have a yarn to me, we had a talk, yep, go for it. So, why, here I am.
7 years later, you're still here.
Still here.
And loving it?
Yeah, loving it. Loving it.
You've still got a smile for all the people that arrive, including us, so you're obviously not over it.
It's all good fun.
It's all good fun.
Life's what you make it, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very true. So, you mentioned the water park before. Obviously, the water park isn't open at this time of year, winter. When's it open and what happens at the water park?
Well, it's virtually a splash park. Kids, there's all different... what can you saw? There's water sprays, there's jet sprays, there's a big dumping water, what can you call it? Like a big bucket.
Okay.
Drops out water everywhere. Kids have a ball, barbecues, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So when's that open?
Well, as soon as the weather's warm enough, we open it.
So you don't actually have a season. It just opens when you or whoever thinks it's warm enough.
Yeah, if it's warm enough, my word, we'll open it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I imagine... that would get a lot of day visitors.
Oh, terrible lot. You can't get a car park here.
Really?
Well, we've got enough car parking here for, say, 90 to 100 cars, and they're parked on the grass, they park everywhere, they just cannot get a car park.
Now, your prices, this is probably to do with your pricing structure. Now, talk about that for our listeners, because I've never heard of anything quite so cheap.
Well, here we are. For a family of, say, 6 people, come in one car, for a day visitation, $5. And for $5, they've got the use of the splash park, the barbecues that are free, all the amenities, go fishing, do what they want to do.
That
sailing.
That is insane.
$5.
Six adults. Well, some cars will take six adults. Some will take more.
Yeah.
So it's $5 for a car.
Yep.
However many you can fit in that car legally.
That's it. That's true.
Yep. And that is just ridiculously cheap.
It's good for a family. It's good to see kids out. And if you charge too much, they're not going to come.
No. Fair enough.
And the council has said, look, we are leaving our prices as is because that's what we want. We want families out here playing and having a good time.
So the facilities are free too. The barbecues are free. They're electric barbecues, I'm assuming.
No, they're gas.
They're gas barbecues?
Yeah, they're all free.
Okay.
Yes, and I clean them too.
You clean them too? Well, listen, if you're going to come out here, and to give Tom a break, okay, at least clean the barbecue after you
Thank
use
you for that.
It.
Thank you.
And apart from the barbecues there, they've got showers there and toilets.
Yeah, showers, toilets, amenities for disabled people, wheelchairs, all that sort of thing, all here. Yeah, cement piles everywhere.
And you've also got a fabulous cafe, which is open during the busy seasons.
Yes.
But not so much through the winter now. They get a great menu in there.
Beautiful. Fish and chips, hamburgers, you name it, they'll do it. And they do a good job of it too.
Yeah. So even if they want to come out for a day, they haven't got to worry about a picnic. If they want to do a picnic, that's fine.
Yeah.
But through these busy, warmer months, if they want to just splurge out and have a meal. And the prices are very reasonable in that cafe as well.
Really good. Yeah, really good. You know, you'll feed a family of four for, say, $50.
Yeah.
And that's fish and chips, calamari rings, the whole works and jokes. Anything you could possibly want.
Family of four, $50.
Yeah.
You can't even go to Macca's for that.
There you go.
You can't even go to Macca's.
But there's good meals. That's good stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. The difference between going to Macca's and spending $50 and coming here and having really good quality food for $50.
Yeah. And sit down on the veranda and look at the beautiful views.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about your views, Tom. You've got walking trails that are all lit up if you want to go, you know, early morning or in the evening. They're all lit.
Yeah.
And all concreted, so great surfaces, wheelchair friendly.
Yes, everything's there. We've got three viewing platforms, so they can take their pick. They can either drive to one, which is nice and close, or go for a walk out and look at the water, or they can climb the hill and go up on the hill and have a look at that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to drive too, you've also got a couple of boat ramps, haven't you?
Yes, we've got one of the longest boat ramps in the Southern Hemisphere, actually.
Okay.
It is 440 metres long.
Right.
And 30 metres wide.
So well and truly, even if you're terrible at backing your boat, you're not going to have a problem.
You just drive down, turn around, and there it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It goes from the dam from 100% down to 4%.
So that boat ramp's been designed for when the water drops.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yep. And what's it normally at? What's the level normally at?
Oh, I like it
on average,
about the 50% mark. It's really good.
Yeah.
Because that way we've got a lot of camping room. Everybody can camp right on the water where they like to be.
Yes.
It's just good.
Now, what's the attraction of the lake? Is it, you said sailing before. Do people come here to sail? Do they come here to fish? Do they use their jet skis? What's the activities?
Everything you've mentioned,
right.
That's exactly what we can do.
Okay.
Jet skis, swimming, paddleboarding, kayaking. Fishing, you name it, you do it on water, you can do it.
You can do it there.
Yep.
So let's talk about your fishing, because yesterday when I spoke to you to organise the interview, you showed me some photographs of some fellas with some pretty big Murray cod, didn't you?
Yeah.
What's the story with these cod? You got like a lot of them out there, or are they just legendary ones that get caught occasionally?
No, we get a lot of fish, well and truly over the metre.
Yeah.
I've seen a metre and a half here.
Okay.
So that's a big, big fish.
It's a big cod.
You've got to put him back, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, big fish. We have the yellow belly, big yellow belly too, and the silver perch, of course, and a good old catfish.
And the good old catfish. So there's plenty of fish in there, and I notice here in your office you've got a lot of lures. So is that the most popular way of catching them, with the lures and stuff, or people use bait fishing here as well?
A lot of people do a lot of different bait fishing.
Right.
Believe it or not, cheese and WD-40 is one of the best baits.
So that doesn't help them get off the hook, the WD-40?
No, that attracts them to the cheese.
Okay, okay. So what sort of fish, I've never heard of this, guys, I've never heard of it. What sort of fish are biting cheese marinated with WD-40?
Oh, the cod. The cod are
good. The cod love it.
The cod love it. Yeah, and you've got a line in the water, you're going to catch a fish.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the fishing, you've got the Great War, the walking trails, but you also got a lot of natural native animals. We went on for a walk the other day and we've never seen so many kangaroos hopping around across the road, laying in the sun.
We have got everything here. We've got deer. We've got white deer. We've got the kangaroos. We've got beautiful bird life. We've got anything you want. We get people here just to come to look at the birds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something for everybody.
Yeah. Echidnas are poking around everywhere. You know, kids love them. You know?
I can understand why after 7 years you've still got a great smile on your face, because you've got a fabulous office, not just the office here we're sitting in right now, but your actual property. What's the size of the property, do you know?
Oh, look, there's actually 3,500 acres here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most of it accessible, or...?
No, a lot of it's terrible rough country. That's why it's a great little park where it is.
Yeah.
And it's got that home feeling about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And apart from that, people are allowed to bring their pets here as well.
Yes, you can bring your dog, long as it's on a lead.
Yes.
We have people bring the horses out and go for a ride, go for a swim in the dam, things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So absolutely
I've actually got a boat ramp, a horse ramp, down near your camp.
Okay.
And those two big logs, they just lower their tailgate down on there and walk the horses off and away they can...
The horses off and down to the lake.
Yeah.
Now, you've got various types of, I guess, camping here, haven't you? You've got powered sites, which is what we're on. You've also got the camping sites.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about those. What's the difference in the pricing, for example?
Righto. Powered site, believe it or not, $20 a night.
Okay. And that's for?
That's for a family of four.
Two adults and two children.
Two children, yes.
$20.
$20.
Ridiculous.
Unpowered sites, $15 a night.
Okay.
Yep.
So... With the powered sites, you've also got some water there. Now, a lot of this water's not potable, is it? We should say that to the listeners. It's good for showering and stuff, but...
Yes, this water goes through a filtration system.
Right.
It doesn't get filtered right down to potable standards, but it's very, very close.
Okay.
It certainly won't make you sick.
Yep.
It hasn't made me sick for years, so okay. I'm all right.
Okay. So boiling it and using it for cooking or making coffee is fine?
Not a problem.
Not a problem at all.
Yeah. But we've got plenty of tank water, stainless steel tanks everywhere.
If they
help
need
yourself
it.
To water.
Yeah. And what about down in the, non-powered, the camping sites? Now, have they got any facilities there, or have you got to have everything yourself?
No, there's no facilities down there.
Yep.
But they... For their $15, they use the showers and all the facilities we have here.
Okay.
Barbecues, showers, toilets, the works and jerks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've got lots of fire pits scattered around the place. So they're allowed to use those fire pits. What about if they've got their own fire pit?
Unpowered site, that's not a problem in the world.
Okay.
But the powered sites, we don't like people having their own there because they happen to leave their ash everywhere.
Ashes and stuff everywhere.
And make a mess for other people and all. You can't clean it up.
You can't. But you've got, on a lot of these powered sites, well, us, for example, we've got a powered site. We've got a big fire pit there.
That's right. Yeah.
And you've also got wood for sale.
That's right.
If you can't bring your own wood, they've even got that for sale out here. How much do you charge for your wood?
$15 a bag, and it's all good box wood. It's not rubbish.
Okay.
It's not pine. It's not offcuts. It's good box wood.
Good quality burning wood.
Yeah.
And apart from that, mate, you've got a lot of dead stuff lying around you could use for kindling or get yourself started if you didn't want to buy.
Pick up your wood here, that's not a problem. You can't use chainsaws because this being a fauna and flora reserve.
Right.
So you've got to look after the birds and the animals and all that.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. So be quite welcome to pick up wood, you know, wherever you want it.
Wherever you want to go. Yep. If it's laying on the ground and you can carry it back to your site, you're welcome to use it.
Yep, but no chainsaws.
No chainsaws. We've just said that. That's what I said. If it's laying on the ground, meaning they're not going to cut it with a chainsaw, and if they can carry it back, well, if they can carry back a log that needs a chainsaw, good luck to them.
Yeah, that's it.
So no chainsaws, but if it's laying on the ground, they're welcome to use it.
Yeah, of course.
For the
helps me clean up the place.
Helps you clean up the place as well. Yeah. You're close to the shops. The main shop's in Inverell.
Yes.
Tell us about that. That's about, what, a 15, 20, half an hour drive?
No, not even that. It's 18 k's. It's just a nice, good road all the way in. Easy. Everything's easy to get to in Inverell.
Yes.
Like everything you want's in the main street or two big shopping centres there, Kmart, Coles, you name it.
So they got it all there?
Got it all there.
And it's only 18 kilometres, so yeah. that's no big feat at all. Yeah. Now, what about, before we wind this one up, Tom, what about maximum stays? Like, you charge $20 a day for powered sites, two adults, two children. Does it get cheaper by the week, or is it just 20 times 7?
It's just 20 times 7.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's the maximum you're allowed to stay?
You're allowed to stay here for 50 days.
Right.
And under our rules, under the rules of a primitive campus, which we come under, you can stay 50 days and then you can't come back for 12 months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right.
However, if you're a good camper and you're clean and you're tidy, I can lose count.
Okay. Of how many days you're here, or if you've been, or if you've been longer than...
But if you're a grub, you're gone in one day.
Fair enough. So you run a tight ship, and that's a good idea, because people come out here, they want to relax.
Yeah.
So no loud music at your campsite, no being a disturbance to others.
15 years in the Army has taught me how to manage people.
Yes. Okay. So they're allowed to play music if they come out and have a good time, but it's obviously respectful to other campers.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we didn't mention we have a big function centre here.
No. Well, I didn't know you did. Tell us about the function centre.
Big function centre. It's a beautiful big building. All the timbers inside the building come from an old bridge. They're recycled big timbers. Each beam weighs 1.3 tonne. Absolutely beautiful. We have weddings. We have birthday parties, we have meetings, everything there, overlooking the water, beautiful, cheap as $250 for the night.
To use the function centre.
To use the function, that's with a kitchen.
With a kitchen, and again, they just have to leave it how they found it.
They got to
leave it clean.
Yes.
Alcohol's okay in there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So there you go. If you're in the Inverell area and you're listening into this and you want a great place to come for a function, a wedding maybe, a reception,
yeah.
$250
in the kitchen.
$50 with a kitchen. You can't get any cheaper than that either.
No.
Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to chat, mate. It's been brilliant. You've been a wealth of information for us.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, you helped me back in. I followed you down on your four-wheeler and you just said, follow me, which is great. Back it straight into there. Simple for us. You do have drive-through sites for big rigs.
Definitely, yes.
So you can take, how many big rigs can you take? Because there is another fifth wheeler here and he told me he drove straight in.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, look, most of the sites you can put a big rig on.
With driving through, or is it a bit of backing involved for the big rigs?
No, mostly drive through.
Mostly drive through.
Yeah.
So it makes it that much easier again, people, okay? So anything from a swag to a 35-foot fifth wheeler and you can accommodate.
Yep, that's it.
Absolutely. That's it. And boating, folks, there's a lot of people here with boats. What's the limit with cars per site? If they bring a caravan and a boat, can they do that? What's the parking in that scenario?
Look, most people come with two cars and a boat and a caravan, you know.
Yep.
So if they've got three, we'll accommodate.
You'll accommodate everything.
We'll work it out.
Sounds like you're the man to come and see, Tom. Mate, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope we can get back here again because it's a fabulous spot. It's not that far from where we live. And I'm going to tell everybody that if you want a short holiday, or a long holiday after 50 days. If you're a good camper, Tom's going to look the other way. This is the place to come.
Oh, yeah, my definitely.
Excellent.
It's a great spot.
There you go. His name's Tom. He's the park manager here at the Northern Foreshores Reserve, Copeton Dam, here at Inverell in New South Wales. Mate, I'm going to wrap this up now. I'd love to talk to you forever, but we've got other people we're interviewing on this program. Well, I want to play your song, and it's got to be Aussie.
It's got to be Aussie. Well, you can't go past Slim Dusty.
Okay.
You've done us proud.
You've done us proud. Mate, you've done us proud. You've done this place proud, and I'm sure we're going to see you again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of Roman Oz listeners straight after Slim Dusty's You've Done Us Proud.
We've done us proud to come this far, down through the years to where we are. Side by hand in hand, we've lived and died for this great land. We've done us proud. I sailed the sea in search of freedom. I tilled fences to hold the cattle. search of gold. I sheared the sheep of golden fleeces. I formed the union to win fair pay. I built a railroad to cross the country. I fought a war for my country's sake. We've done
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here, allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 87.6 Backwater Country, and I am at Copeton Dam, and I'm chatting with Cassie. How are you going, Cassie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. A little bit chilly here today.
So chilly and wet.
And wet. We got a bit of rain around, which is a bit unfortunate, because I noticed you're camping.
Yeah. And a bunch of kids.
And I was about to say, I noticed you got a whole group of kids here with you because you're travelling with another couple, yeah?
We are.
And in total, about five kids, I think I've seen.
Yes, five kids.
Ranging from?
19 months up to 12 years old.
Right. Cassie, I got to ask you, what possesses you to travel with a 19-month and up to 12 in a tent? It's cold weather. I think it was like down to almost zero this morning. We're starting to get rain. Are you on a challenge? Did you lose a bet? What is it? What's it about?
Some would call it crazy, but it's all about experience for the kids, getting out there. We don't want them sitting on their devices. We want them to experience the world and have fun camping, be out in the bush, be out in the dirt, near the water, having a good time.
Fantastic. Now, where are you from originally? Like, not originally, but where do you live? Where's your town?
Yep, Raleigh, New South Wales, which is just outside of Coffs Harbour.
Now, Coffs Harbour, that's beach weather. That's beach town.
It is.
What brings you out here, out into the bush, out near Inverell?
Bit of a change. We're sort of more off-grid people a lot of the time, so we sort of go camping definitely where there's no power. This time we've decided power,
okay,
just for a bit of luxury living, I guess,
okay,
we would call it. But, yep, just to get a bit of a different experience of Australia and get away.
So when you say power, you're in a tent. Have you got heating inside the tent?
We do. We've cheated a little bit, okay, and we've got a bit of power. I did bring my slow cooker this time, okay, but normally it's just the Weber, no power, battery, that's it.
Because I saw your partner before. He was standing behind the truck.
Yes.
And he's got an open fire going.
We do.
Is that for ambience or for heat?
For heat, just to keep us comfy and for the kids, obviously, to cook their marshmallows. We can't go without them, otherwise they complain the whole time.
Really?
Yep.
So marshmallows is a secret, people, if you're travelling with young kids. So what do they do out here? I mean, what do you do with a 19-month-old when it's cold, he's in a tent, there's no TV in there, I'm assuming.
No TV.
So nothing to keep him amused. What do you do?
Honestly, I just let him go. We went to Anaconda just before we came here, got a whole heap of snow gear just in case, and we've just rugged him up, let him explore, gave him a net. He's collecting rocks, he's collecting leaves, he's
okay,
doing whatever he wants to do, and we're just keeping an eye on him like a hawk, and he's running amok.
And having a great old time.
Doing what a kid should do.
Now, what about the bigger kids? What were the ages of the bigger ones you said?
So, eldest is 12, then they sort of go from 10, 6 and 4. They've got their push bikes out here, they found the playground, so they've, to be honest, left us alone.
Really? So they're off doing their thing and you're just sitting back, kicking back.
Watching the little ones.
Watching the smaller ones. Yeah.
Yep.
And husband's gone. He's took the boat.
He has.
So hopefully he's going to come back with some fish for dinner.
Fingers crossed.
That's the plan.
Yep.
And what do you do for entertainment for the older ones? What, once the younger ones, you pop them to bed and then you just hang around the campfire? And
we do. We do. We've actually bought a projector because obviously the State of Origin is on tonight.
Oh, it is
so
indeed.
We've got a projector to hook up the phone and watch that tonight, but honestly we just kick back a few beers around the fire and have a good time, talk people's ears off and just enjoy the good old living.
So the tents, is this your thing? I mean, if you had an opportunity for a tent or a caravan, what would you want? Would you
we
still
always
want the
go
tent?
Tent.
Still,
we always go tent. Yep.
So what's the attraction about the tent? The fact that you can just get away and get away from the main hustle and bustle of people and so on and so forth?
Absolutely. You can just pitch a tent anywhere. You don't have to worry with caravan trying to hook it up somewhere, trying to tow it through small little towns. If we want to skate for the day and get away, we can, but a tent keeps us all cozy. We're all tucked in there, so it's perfect.
So how did you find out about this place? Because we just sort of stumbled over it, and it's an absolutely sensational place.
It is.
I mean,
beautiful.
It's got it all, isn't it? It's got the,
it really
it's got
does.
The, it's got the dam, which is fantastic for fishing, the water park over there, the splash park, although it's not open at the moment because it's winter, but hey, the splash park for the kids in summer. Barbecues everywhere, toilet and showers, all facilities. Cheap as chips to stay
here.
Absolutely. How'd you find out about the place?
My partner's actually been talking about it for years, and we'd always talked about coming out here, obviously in summer, more than winter, but we thought kids are on school holidays. I think we've had friends come out here and stay, but they were staying over at the luxury living.
Yep.
And we saw the camping and, as you said, cheap as chips and amenities. I always like a hot shower and the toilet.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I love the tent, but I'm somebody who likes a hot shower.
Oh.
And
look, it makes sense, and I think it doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. It's good to have a shower at the end of the day.
Definitely.
Now, have you ever been in places where you don't have amenities? Do you have a portable shower and a shower tent and the like? Or
we actually bought a portaloo not too long ago, so we take that occasionally with us, and we did buy a portable shower in the end because we would go out camping for weeks at a time, and when you sort of only had a fresh creek to swim in and some bushes up the back, it wasn't luxury.
Not real pleasant. after a few days of that, you need to freshen up for sure.
Absolutely.
So how long are you staying here for?
We are staying here for 3 nights, possibly 4, because obviously we want to extend and we don't want to go home.
No, well, why would you? it's sad that the weather's come over cool and a little bit of rain. So now the boat's in the water today. Do you go fishing in the boat yourself or is it just the boys?
No, I will. I'm just prepping dinner at the moment and then I'll be heading down there.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what, heading
crossed.
Down there now after dinner?
So I'll just prep dinner, put it on the stove, and then I'll head down there, and hopefully once we're all done catching some fish, we'll come up and have some dinner, watch the Origin, and kick back.
Wow. So how long are you going to stay for now? You said you're going to extend it. You've been here how many nights now?
Just one night.
One night so far?
Yep, tonight will be our second, but, I mean, we could end up being here till Sunday if the if we all convince each other enough.
Yeah, well, you do that over the open fire with a few beers and rums.
And it's not very hard, to be honest.
You know, and what about your friends that you're travelling with now? Do they do a lot of camping as well?
They've got
two children as well.
Yes, they do.
So they camp a lot with you, or they camp by themselves?
Yep, no, we generally go out camping together. So we've got sort of a property that we go to and spend a lot of time out there, and that's why we bought a portaloo. No reception, just riverbeds, river creeks, so it's beautiful. But yes, they have learnt to deal with us and go from there.
So for anyone thinking about travelling with little ones, your one's 19 months, what advice would you give them? Would you say to the ladies, just do it, just be in a tent and get back to nature, or would you say, oh, maybe you should think of a caravan? What do you think?
I would absolutely say do it. It's the memories that the kids look back on. They have a ball, you know, they're not going to remember what they got for their sixth birthday, but they're going to remember a camping trip. They're going to remember the cold nights in a tent, the hot nights in a tent. And it's getting out in nature, it's getting them muddy, getting them dirty, all what kids should be doing, not sitting on devices.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear that, you know. Can I ask how old you are without being rude?
No, that's fine, I'm 30.
So you're 30, because most young mums, because I'm in my 60s now, most young mums are interested in just, here's a device, leave me alone, but you're just totally the opposite.
I am. No, I want to be out here in nature, getting experience. I sort of grew up and I spent a lot of time out on the water on a boat. We pretty well lived on a boat when I was younger, and this is what I want my kids to experience, just out in nature. We don't have a boat, so I can't do that, but I can give them a tent.
So it doesn't sort of get to you after a while, because obviously husband's gone off, he's fishing, you're here, you're thinking, well, I can hear one in there calling out now, or is it's like,
calling out,
oh,
Mum.
My goodness me, like, cut me some slack, no?
It does, when we sort of go for a couple of weeks, you get a bit on edge, but you can put up with it for a couple of days, and once everyone finds their groove and everyone's happy, you definitely can put up with it for longer. I think when it's wet and muddy, then it becomes a little bit, don't walk in the tent, don't do this, but absolutely, you still do it no matter what.
It's pretty challenging, but you still wouldn't swap it for a caravan.
You wouldn't swap it for a caravan.
Oh, here comes your little one now. Look, I'm going to let you go because he's going to need you more than us. Thank you so much, Cassie, for taking the time to talk with me.
No, thank you.
And it's been a pleasure. I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay and the weather stays reasonably pleasant for you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Now, before we finish up, I'm going to play you a song. It's got to be Aussie. You got a favourite Aussie singer or band?
Have to be Lee Kernaghan.
You love your country music?
Love the country.
Have you got a favourite Lee song?
She's my ute.
She's my ute.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much, Cassie. We'll be back with more Roman Oz listeners straight after Lee Kernaghan's She's My Ute.
Kicking past the dealers on the edge of town. There are a lot of pretty pickups, not a ute to be found. Twin cam jack for the bloke would be nuts. Give me a six or a night, a four-wheel mate. The dents and the dust and the grass on the gut. that you can't keep that dirty old ute anymore. There comes a point when a man's gotta choose. Well, I told her straight, I stood with my mate. She's been gone a year, but the ute's still here. She's got holes in a muffler and a gearbox.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. If you've just joined us, the program's called Roman Oz and it's now syndicated with 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And on the chat lines with us now is Nick Perkins, and he is the president of the Polo Cross Club in Durrumbandy. How are you going this afternoon, my friend?
Yeah, good, thanks, Bill. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm doing really, really well. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us. I'd like to ask you a few things about this event, but before we do, you're the president of the Durrumbandy Polo Cross Club. Tell us all about Polo Cross. How long have you been playing the game?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. So I am the president. Obviously, the role sort of switches around between players from year to year. Had some good presidents in the past, so this is my first year being president. It's a great sport, mate. It's sort of pretty popular out here with people that have horses and like playing sport in a team environment. So it's a great, pretty competitive sport, and people put a lot of commitment into it. It's a great thing to be a part of, that's for sure.
Now, I've never actually been to a game of, polo cross. How many people are on a team? And do you have positions on the team like you would on footy or soccer?
Yeah.
Or tell us a bit about the rules of the game and how many is in the team.
Yeah. So there's six to a side, but you only ever have three on at a time. So three will ride on, and they'll play for 8 minutes. What is called the chucker. And then they'll ride off, and your next three will ride on and play another 8 minutes, and then you'll only normally play 16 minutes total for a game because it's quite an intense sport. It's quite fast, so it's obviously horses have to be very fit, and 8 minutes is enough before they need a bit of a spell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of. And that's sort of the timing of it. And then position-wise, you've got three positions. So you've got a one, a two, and a three. Pretty basic. Your one is your goal thrower.
Yes.
He throws the goals. Your number two is sort of your middleman. He's a ball getter and also a defensive player. He plays the middle of the field. And then your three, I guess, he is your defensive player who tries to stop the opposing number one, the goal thrower, from throwing the goal. But he's also a pretty important attacking player with the way the game is played these days. In the lineup, the ball's thrown in between the six players, and that ball often travels out the back of the lineup. So the number three, whoever has a stronger horse there to turn and to peel out the back of those lineups, pick that ball up. In the modern game, that's sort of probably one of the most important aspects of it. So it's pretty. It's pretty basic, but it's hard to explain until you go out and actually watch it. Pick it up pretty quickly once you watch a game.
Yeah, sounding like a really fun, high sort of energy type of sport, especially for the horses. Obviously, they've got to be really fit. But what about the riders? Yeah. I mean, they're only holding on with the reins with one hand.
Yeah. Normally you've got your reins with one hand. Often will carry a whip as well. And then you've got your polo cross racket in the other hand. So it's a bit there's a bit going on. Mm-hmm. You've got a bit to control. But it's one of those things, once you've played a while, it sort of becomes natural to you. And, yeah, it's a sport that obviously relies on a lot of hand-eye coordination, but horsepower is everything in game of polo.
Fair enough. So how long's it been a popular sport in Australia, do you know? Because it didn't originate in Australia, did it, polo cross?
Oh, well, that's a bit debated. It actually is claimed to originate in Australia.
Okay.
I've heard there's a few rumours that there was something going on in England, but no, polo cross is certainly claimed to be an Australian sport.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, I don't know when it exactly started. I know us as a club, we ran from 1958 to 65, and then we had a bit of a spell there where no one was around, but then it started up again in 1978 and ran, and we've had a club and a carnival, we've had a few washouts, but basically running strong from 78 to now. But it's grown internationally. I think 2003 was the first World Cup that was held in Australia, and ever since then, there's some other countries have got very strong. That's sort of the background of it, yeah.
So where you're located, you're in a really sort of a good position in Durham Bandy, because you've got teams that come from all over Queensland and New South Wales, is that right?
Yeah, well, that's sort of been the beauty of it. You know, a fair while ago, we didn't get a lot of teams, but since we've upgraded our facilities and we've sort of got a pretty good atmosphere there now, we pull teams from, you know, as far west as Coolpeat and Fargo for the western teams, and then we got the northern sides like Tambo, Taroom, the eastern clubs, which often are some of the strongest clubs, like Warwick, the Gold Coast. So they come out, and then we also get some really strong sides from over the border, like Galloping Gully and Kurindai, and Inverell, they can bring up some good sides. So you often get teams who might not normally play against each other will run into each other at the Durham Carnival. So that's probably one of the great aspects of our carnival, yeah.
So apart from it being, I guess, so highly competitive between these different teams in Queensland and New South Wales, it's all a gathering of I guess, mates too, isn't it? Because mainly they come out, obviously they want to win, the teams want to win, but they mainly want to come out there, catch up with other players, reminisce, have some fun, and Friday night's a big night for you guys at the local hotel, is that right?
Yeah. Well, we have our own bar here at the club, so we run our own bar, and yeah, definitely, that was probably, you know, at least half of it. Very important part of it, the social side. People, they come out to, everyone sort of knows everyone, so everyone sort of gets on. You come out, catch up at the bar and have a beer, have a few rums, reminisce, and that's certainly a massive part about it. And the Durham, we've always had a good sort of fun bar. People, some of the Eastern clubs come out for a bit of a fun weekend, so have to let the hair down a bit.
So whereabouts is it actually held? Because the main carnival is Friday and Saturday. Saturday and the 27th and 28th of July, the Sunday. So whereabouts is it held for all our listeners if they want to come out and watch this great event?
So it's held at the Durham Bandy Showground.
Right.
Which is, just up past the caravan park and past the hospital, opposite the school. Durham Bandy is a pretty small town, so you drive around, you'll see it. You'll see all the chucks and goosenecks and everyone there. And certainly, if you're a spectator, I think you'd come and watch. Saturday afternoon is a great one to come and watch because you get some pretty good games Saturday afternoon. And then you also have the what we call the one-on-one.
The one-on-one. Now, what's the one-on-one? Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a unique concept. It's actually something that my brother Lockie came up with and had a bit of support, and they came up with we always want a bit of entertainment, and every club's got different entertainment Saturday afternoon because you've got everyone there. once the games are finished. And we ended up coming up with, well, Lockie sort of came up with the one-on-ones, which is just pretty, there's a few rule changes, like we, to make it faster, we've got a shot clock on the throw goals, but it's just literally one-on-one on the whole field. Instead of having three-on-three, it's just one-on-one, and it's just knockout, like, you know, situated, and it's just best of three. So if you shoot two goals, bang, you advance in the next set, the player that loses hits the showers. And you just have a draw exactly how you would at a tennis, you know, a tennis tournament.
Yes.
You just advance, you know, everyone wins, advances, and eventually you'll get to your semis and then you'll get to your final, just one player versus another. And it's just a magnificent spectator sport because it's just, everyone's there playing for the right reasons. Like, it's a big crowd there, so they play a bit, you know, show off their skills a little bit, so everyone gets a bit flashy. It's sort of something that started as just a bit of fun to now, like, it's really popular and probably it's becoming a major part of our carnival. It's a great thing to come down and watch for sure. And there's a bar, obviously the bar's running as they play.
That's good. Now, you said your brother Lockie came up with this concept of one-on-one. So is it only done at your particular event or is it done at other events as well now?
Well, he came up with the concept, because we were sort of the first to do it, we sort of sort of claimed the rights over it a little bit, but we're not, like, other clubs have called us and said, can we run it? And we're like, no dramas. We've had a bit of influence over it, like, sort of passing on the rules and everything. They even ran it at the Nationals this year as a bit of a warm-up. The National Championships is sort of the big part. The biggest tournament of the year, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they actually they took it there and ran it there. So, it is happening at other carnivals, but we certainly we've got the name attached to the competition.
Okay. And that's Saturday afternoon.
That's Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
So that's a good one to watch if you can't get there for that. Another day is probably Sunday afternoon, and you've got your finals. Like all your grades start, you know, it might be D, C, B grade, and then the last game of the day is definitely the best one to watch. That's the A grade final. That's probably the top of the line in terms of quality. You can see some pretty good sides riding out there for sure.
And then on Saturday night, you've got a pretty special dinner happening, haven't you? The Saltbush Lamb.
That's probably another puller for our carnival. We the Doomandy Club prides themselves on really good food. A lot of the wives in our district are just, they're unreal in the kitchen. They do so much work. So they cook a lot. And then also Duncan Banks, he sort of came up with the concept of the Saltbush Lamb. So he's sort of heavily involved in that. He often supplies his own lamb for that, and the feedback we get from it is really good. We normally always sell out, so make sure you get down there at a reasonable time, and you'll get a great feed for a reasonable price. Yeah.
So in relation to our travellers now, then if they're going to be in Doomandy for the weekend, or preferably before the weekend, so they can join in and have some fun at the bar there. Where can they stay? If they've got a caravan or a motorhome, you got accommodation for them to come to?
Yeah. Well, they're welcome just to camp at the showgrounds, because that's all the players and all the club people do. If they want to do that, that's Brisbane. Otherwise, there is a caravan park in town that's right next door to the polycross grounds. And then there's also two motels and a pub in town as well, and they all provide accommodation. If you contact either of those, I'm sure they'll be able to help you out.
So what about tickets for the event? How does this work out? And if there's any in particular, if any of them stay at the showground, is there an additional charge for camping there?
No, there's no charge for spectators at our club. We want everyone to come and have a look. You get in the gate for nothing.
Wow, so this is a complete free event.
Yeah, free event. You know, and that's what it's all about. We just want people to just to come in and have a look. It promotes the game, and we're quite lucky. We get, like, our locals, you know, all the people from the properties and the stations, and they're also in town as well. They get behind the event. They come in and support it. Because that sort of often makes the event is getting not just the Polycroft people, it's getting everyone else to come along. It just bumps up the numbers a bit and makes it a more, you know, a whole community event.
Well, I think it's a sensational idea, especially not to charge them to camp and not charge them to watch you guys, you know, show off your skills. Obviously,
yeah.
They're going to have to pay at the bar, and if they want to be involved in the saltbush land, they pay for that.
Yeah.
But all the entertainment is free, and they can stay there for free.
Yeah. So, just come and have a look and support the bar and support the canteen, and that's all we sort of ask, yeah.
Fantastic idea, my friend. I hope you get a lot of unexpected people after we put this on, because this is a great idea for Durham Bandy and also for the sport of polo cross in Australia.
Yeah. No, Jarman, I appreciate the time that you've given us. Yeah.
Well, mate, thank you so much for taking the time. This is Nick Perkins, listeners. He is the president of the Polo Cross Club. And it's going to be a fantastic, unique experience with both great sporting action, good food, and a fantastic time to be had at the bar on Friday evening there with a lot of the players. I'm going to have to wind this up now, Nick, but before I do, I want to play you a song. It's got to be Aussie. Have you got a favourite Australian singer or band?
I have to go Lee Kernaghan, Boys from the Bush.
Lee Kernaghan's Boys from the Bush. Okay, my friend, I'll put that on for you right now. And we're going to be back with more of Room and Oz straight after that. Thank you so much for your time, Nick.
No worries. Thanks, Phil. See you, mate.
I've been shearing sheep, living mushroom stock. We've been culling out roots, we've been spraying the crop. We've been growing cattle up an old dock room. Now Saturday night, we pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog in the bag and the foot goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush come in from the scrub. We've been loading the truck, been fixing fences, we've been choking on dust. We curse the rain, we curse the drought. Now Saturday night, and we're all in the shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. Of the Outback Club. Well, the boys on the bush come in from the crowd. We work the land through fire and flood. It's in our heart, runs in the blood. We're the boys from the bush and we're back.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.